Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to another live episode of the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and as always, we have none other than the wonderful Mary Ann Williams around the table. We call her Mama. Mama, good evening to you.
And good evening to you, and good evening to my PRF family. Again, I'm saying that I'm just glad that you can join us this evening, and we're all going to enjoy the show. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we just want to say hi to everybody who is watching tonight. Decided once again to go live on Facebook, and so we're stepping out into the deep, Mama. On behalf of all of us here at the PRF, we just want to say thank you. I echo the sentiments of Mama. We are very grateful for all of you who listen to what God is pouring into us, and we're grateful for all that we are able to gain and gather from you. So tonight we are dealing with this topic, which has been a good topic. The topic has been we are focusing on premarital financial counseling. Premarital financial counseling. And I'm grateful that we have the opportunity just to talk about it. A lot of times there's subject matters and things that are within the church that a lot of times people do not want to deal with. And so I'm glad that God has given us this ability, if you will, to actually deal with these various topics. And so we're live on the PRF Institute's Facebook page. Decided not to go live on my page tonight, so we ask those of you who are watching, those of you who are listening, to just be kind enough to go ahead and share. And if you are listening online or watching us on Facebook and you want to get into the conversation, you can always do so by calling 347-215-7934. So, Mama, listen, let's just backtrack, if we will. This episode or this series that God has given us, it has been very fruitful. The comments that we've received so far, in my estimation, in my opinion, they have been a blessing to so many people. One of the things I want to make sure we make clear tonight is same thing you said last week. At the end of the day, those of us, Demetria, who are already married, those of us who have been married and failed and tried it 2 and 3 and 4 and 7-11 times, the truth of the matter is so many people are talking about what they wish they would have had back in the day.
Amen.
I did a short little video earlier today focusing on compatibility, just a little teaser, if you will, for tonight's show. And it was amazing to me, some of the comments. But again, we get the comments from those of us who have already gone down this path of marriage and divorce and struggles within the marriage. And what God is saying, listen, y'all have already done it the way that I really would have chosen not to do it. So now I'm trying to educate you. I'm trying to put something inside of you, not just a bunch of talk, but what have I already put out there in my word that can help you to not go through the same crap that so many people that you look up to, so many people you see on TV or you watch on Facebook, and you say, oh, they got it all together. No, so many of us that lays the pulpit, so many of us that you come to us for counseling, and it's a financial route to some of this. But at the end of the day, even though it's a financial route, you're not coming to us with the financial piece. You're saying, listen, he does this or she does that. And if we're willing to pull back some of the layers, if we're willing to give you more than a 30-minute time session to be able to counsel with you, or if it takes 5 or 6 sessions, then we can find out, oh, This is because there were some things that was not done in advance. And so all that's happening is they're experiencing, Mama, the fruit.
Yes.
Of not putting some things in place.
Yes.
Back when. I don't care whether it was 3 months ago when you got married. I don't care whether it was 6 months ago, 5 years or 20 years. There's some people that are experiencing some things now in their marriages, wishing that somebody did what we're doing right now tonight, Mama. Wishing that somebody would have said, no, as I'm going through this financial counseling with my pastor, with the reverend who's going to marry me, as I'm doing this, if they would have talked to me about some of these things that Dr. Dunlap and the rest of the crew have been talking about, practical spiritual things. You know, I can't stand it when people want to focus so much about the spiritual and leave the practical alone. I believe that Jesus did a practical thing when he spat on the ground and then went up and put mud on the man's eyes and then said, go and walk to the pool of Siloam and wash. I believe that was a practical thing. I believe that there was a practical thing when the commander, Naaman, when he actually got that word from the little girl after the children of Israel taken away in chapter 5, and he said, go see my prophet. He'll heal you of your leprosy. He'll heal you of that condition. And if he would have stayed there in Aram, which is modern-day Syria, if he would have stayed there, Mama, the truth of the matter is he never would have received his healing, at least not according
to that place.
So he picked up, and he had to go to that place. And we even teach this in our financial healing course. There's so many steps that he had along the way that he had to make. And he even ran into some brick walls. He ran into some brick walls, but eventually he listened to what the Spirit of God came from. I don't know if you remember the story, Mama, but this guy went to the king, and the king couldn't do it. And then he went to the prophet, and the prophet sent out some individuals to say, hey, what to do? And he's like, hold on, I'm the commander. You're supposed to come out and greet me and show me that respect because of my position. And the Spirit of God is like, that ain't what I'm supposed to do. I send my message. Who do I want to send it to, Jack? And so when he finally got it, and thank God he had some friends around him, Mama. He had some friends around him that was able to say, you are a mighty warrior. Yeah, you're the commander. You're responsible for most of these cats being placed in captivity and slavery, but this is something simple to do. Go to the pool and dip 7 times, and then you'll be healed and made whole. And you can't do that. What's the matter with you? Who is this cat we following? Then when he goes and does it, he does the practical, Mama. The spiritual is already been done.
Yeah.
All right, let me get off.
It's good.
Let me get off. Y'all understand. Y'all understand.
That's good. Has to be action on our part.
Yeah, Mama, let me come to you for a moment. Can you share with us just if this has been a blessing to you? Is there anything that we've said so far? Has God revealed anything to you on a positive note about how we should be doing some things differently, especially when it comes to what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks?
Well, okay. For me, listening, it just shows how much I did not know.
Mm.
And I am very glad that we are having this for people who are not married, because it's so much I did not know. I just didn't have a clue. And now, for those who are listening and will apply it in their lives, they can't help but have successful marriages. But when we don't have the tools, we just go get married. You know, we don't question anything. We just in love, and we just want to do it, and sometimes we want to do it because, you know, we don't want to be fornicating and, you know, all those reasons. But it's so much to being married. And I'm just overwhelmed by what I did not know. So I'll be able to share if the opportunity, you know, presents itself. You know, this knowledge, if someone comes to me and asks me.
Right, right. You know, one of the things that we talked about earlier was about compatibility, and I feel that we have the time to focus on this compatibility. One of the things that we talked about was how in Jeremiah chapter 29, how so many people, Demetrius, look at when God talked about, or excuse me, God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. He wrote this letter to the exiles of Israel who were in Babylon at that time. And he said, when the Lord takes you into the place that I'm leading you, I'm leading you into this place of captivity, and you're going to be here for 7 years. He says, there's a couple things I want you to do while you're there. And the way God has given me to deal with that particular scripture, because so many people want to utilize Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you an hope and an expected end. And so they're like, look, I know what the Lord has for me. Woo-hoo-hoo. Okay, but you got to realize that came after some 70 years of captivity. So he gave them the script, and here's what he said. One of the things that he said, I want you to marry. I want you to continue to have children. I want you to multiply. I don't want you to dwindle away while you're in this place of captivity for these 70 years. That was one of four things that God said for him to do in the first early verses of that particular text in that letter to the exiles. Well, I thought it was interesting. God said, when you come out, that's when this piece about when you call on me and I'll answer you. When you call on me and I'll answer you. He said that. And then he said, I know the plans I have for you. There's a reason why God said, I want y'all to marry. He said, I want you to marry amongst yourself. He wasn't trying to get them to marry the Babylonians, mama. He wanted to get them to marry themselves. There was a plan, there was a purpose for that compatibility with them who had been taken into Israel.
Yeah.
God didn't take his hands off them because he was in this place of captivity. He still had his hand on them, but he gave them some instructions. He said, here's some things that I want you to do. And then when you come out, you'll be in a better place. And so a lot of people come into marriage, mama, believing that that since they're coming in to marriage, that two people coming together should make it things a whole lot better. You don't have come into nobody. I don't believe nobody comes into marriage with an expectation that my life is going to be hell because I hooked up with this person. That may happen when you have babies. And that just happens. But marriage, that's an intentional thing, right? Having a baby, from sex, that's not sometimes an intentional thing. If they would have married the Babylonians, right, married those who were part of the capture, when God brought them out, the truth of the matter is God wasn't trying to bring the Babylonians out with God's people. He was trying to bring them out of that situation. And so the way that nuances for me is your compatibility has a purpose. And when your compatibility has a purpose, you got to think about that. It's not this purpose is not something that just falls into your lap. This is, for me, this is an intentional thing. And so two people coming together to join in holy matrimony, standing before God and man for a congregation or however you do it, whether you do it in Vegas, do it at your county courthouse step, whenever that happens, I just believe so strongly that we're coming together and there's a purpose for that particular couple. But if you're not compatible, mama.
Yes.
That becomes very problematic if you're not compatible. And one area that we know a lot of people are not compatible stems in this area of finances.
Yes.
I just can't believe that when we have 60% of people in churches are divorced or have been divorced, I can't believe that the 55% of people in the country that get married go through divorce. I can't believe that all those individuals, that 55 to 60%, that they were compatible with their finances, mama. When we continue to get the statistics, they continue to say finances is one of the major reasons for people divorcing. So I don't believe that everything just turned topsy turvy on its head. I believe that there were some things that was already there. There were some signs that may have already been noticed, but there was nobody to stand in the gap for them. And I'm not faulting any pastor who has failed to do this and has a role to play, or maybe blood on his or her hands, for individuals that say, listen, I'm coming to you. I want you to show me, God, give me the things and tools I need to be successful in this marriage. But nothing about finances was really, really dealt with. I'm not condemning you. I'm just letting you know that there were some things that just wasn't covered. And so we have to take that responsibility, any of us that are in that position. And now, here's the second piece. Let me flip it on his head. I don't care if you come to me or any of my colleagues It may be your pastor, may not be your pastor. The one's going to perform the ceremony, bringing y'all together as man and wife, presenting you before God in the world. It does not matter to me that they don't have the skill, they don't have the ability, they don't have the anointing in this particular area, what we're talking about, premarital financial counseling. Those of you who are yet to be married, then you have a responsibility because you're being educated if you're watching the shows or listening to the shows. You're the one that's able to say, listen, hold on now. I may not be getting this in my counseling sessions with my pastor, but you got to have some responsibility in that as well. Hold on, let me. What's up with finances, Pastor? We know that that's a big issue. We know many of the marriages and relationships are down to twos because of finances. If he or she doesn't have it to be able to give it to you, then the next thing is, okay, well, do you sit there and do you not get it? Do you sit there and not even try to deal with it? Or do you try to get them to give you something that they don't have? Or do you just not deal with it at all? And then you go into this thing and thinking that it's just going to work out. No. That's not how it happens. I think I used an example earlier. When you go to a job, they're going to hire the individuals. If you think about it, the people that they're going to hire is the people who have the qualifications. And so a person does not have the qualifications. Make them a bad person, doesn't make them a bad pastor, a bad minister. All it says is they don't have something that you need. You got to get what you need. And don't think that it's going to be somebody else's fault when you have access to people like us at PRF and some other folks. So I just wanted to bring that up. And so,
yes, that's good.
Any comments on that, Mama? I know I've been going on. You know how this, some of these subjects and topics, they kind of
yes,
get me a little bit.
Well, it's just really interesting, you know, about I had a chance to go to a marriage seminar. And in the seminar, they were talking about finances. And the pastor who was leading this, he was a guest, you know, he was just speaking about how people are marrying people. I mean, people that have their degrees are just marrying people that don't work. You know, that was just something he just really just could not understand. Why are we? We're talking about the body of Christ now. You know, we're going ahead and getting our education. We have good jobs and cars and things of that nature. You know, but we will marry people who don't have a job.
Okay.
Don't have a job. People that, you know, really are not really. That person can be educated in the finances, and yet still the person that they, you know, want to be with, they don't have any knowledge, and they're not even interested in knowledge. So again, it comes to compatibility, right back to compatibility.
You know, there's scripture. One of the things I was looking up was, you know, what is the word of God? What has God said? I think like it's my mind, but I know in my heart that when we start dealing with stuff and focusing on things that can be rooted or have some type of biblical foundation, then we are destined for a lot more success than we are for failures. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, one of the things that God had told Moses to tell to the people was, listen, when y'all get into the promised land, now listen, we understand, or I'll give this to us. There was we know about the children wandering in the wilderness. Children Israel wandering in the wilderness for about 40 years, right? They came out of Egypt, and then, you know, God got a little tired and said, okay, you know what? Because of how y'all leaders are acting and how you're getting the people to rebel against me and act like they ain't got no sense and don't remember how I brought them all this time. Listen, y'all have been through this for 39 years, and y'all acting crazy like that. So here's what we're going to do. This is what I want you to do. You get into the promised land. I want y'all to drive out everything. Drive out all the inhabitants, Canaanites, Jebusites, all the different sites that's in there. And I want you to drive those things out because I don't want you to get involved with those ites. Because when you get involved with those ites and you start having relations with them, somebody's looking for us on Facebook. Having relations with them. I don't want you to get I don't want you to get involved with them, because I don't want what they're doing and have them turning you away from me and following their gods. You see, one of the things, now listen, you got to understand what he was talking about. They was talking about a spiritual compatibility. And was talking about marrying what I would say an idolater, marrying people who worship other gods and idols. And so we know that money is a very big topic in America, right? A whole bunch of folks have it, a bunch of folks don't give it, a whole bunch of folks don't have it, a whole bunch of folks are looking for it, right?
And so
the whole thing with that text is, I don't want you marrying somebody that's going to take you away from me. And so how your potential spouse deals with possession and resources and finances and what they look up to and how those things are valuable to them and where are you in relation to that? Those are real deal questions. They're real deal questions that need to be asked before people walk down the aisle. And so I'm big on let's focus on the things that we need to focus on, because I promise you, if many people, mama, have decided that, you know what, let me go through some premarital financial counseling. And then listen, I'm not saying that I'm a counselor, but I promise you, we can ask you the questions that can have you thinking about some things, because why not think about these things now?
Yes.
Versus waiting for 6 months and then finding out certain things like her credit looks like this, his credit looks like this. Why not find some of these things out? Listen, he was working good before y'all got married, but now he don't really care too much. I mean, let's be honest. I'm gonna be an equal opportunist in that respect. You never was there all the time at her place, so. And you don't live there, so you don't check the mail. But now all of a sudden, you're like, doggone, what, a collection notice? What, you ain't paid this bill? This bill, they've been chasing you down for 6 months. See, you don't know those type of things until you go live with somebody. But you have the ability to ask people this. You have the ability to ask. And listen, if it's a marriage that's built on love, you should be able to ask your potential spouse some of these hard questions that we're posing to you, if you don't have people that are willing to pose them to you in your circle, in your leadership, then there's some questions, some of the stuff you're hearing us talk about. Hey, what's your credit score? I said this earlier. I said we have nothing but doors. And the truth of the matter is that if any of our daughters decided to get married, right, you know, whoever he is, some of the stuff I'm putting out to you, you've got to know, listeners, that I'm going to be asking those things of anybody who wants to take any of our daughters' hand in marriage. Matter of fact, if you start seeing this thing start to be some kind of serious, you best believe I'm going to ask those things anyway, because, see, I don't even want you getting all messed up. I, as a father, mama, listen, I don't want you getting all wrapped around any daughters, bruh. And then as you get all wrapped around, then I see this thing getting serious, and I don't want to ask those questions, or she don't ask those questions. And then when you pop the question, You know how, mama, I'm going to say this, I know I'm going to get in trouble. Y'all know how y'all want to get married. Y'all ready to go ahead and do it. I ain't got time to be playing. Okay, if we got to wait 6 months to get, you know, to get the hall, to get the reception that we want to, or the pastor to get on his schedule, then that's okay, but I ain't waiting too much longer. And then you find out some stuff.
Yeah.
Before it happens. Mm-hmm. Whoa, I found out these red flags. Whoa. And then you say, hold on. This ain't how it's supposed to be. Truth of the matter is, mama, somebody got to ask the questions. It's just like asking questions, you know, you're 22 years old, you're about to get married, you want to get married, you ask the question during your dating phase. I hear this all the time about people in their dating phase. People don't wait until they get married to ask this question I'm about to throw out. Here's a question that they ask, mama: do you want to have children?
Yes.
Or what about an individual who already has children, right? Let me go to the switchboard, because I know I haven't been monitoring it that well. But do you want to have children, or you married, you're connected with somebody that has a child already, you ask them, do you want to have any more children? You know, listen, bro may be happy with his two kids because, look, he already know how much he got to pay in child support, you know. You don't go ahead and go through with it thinking that, that he's going to just change his mind. Listen, that's not
that's
how you
right.
do this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's good.
One of the things I'm putting out here, too, is this. If you're asked the question and then you decide to make the decision, not saying that everything is a red flag, but you know what? He says he doesn't want to have children. I know I want to have children. There's some financial implications with that. And so maybe
right.
I'm saying no because I got a child already, right, Mama? And because of my lady, you know, she doesn't have any children, but I already have a child, and I know how much I may already be, you know, I'm making it, but I'm kind of making it a little bit good because her and I have connected, and she helps me out with my child, you know, on some of the child support or some of the taking care of things. But now we add another child in the mix because you say you want a child. We add another child into the mix of this thing, right? And as we add this other child into the mix, what's my financial situation? See, are we going to plan to have another? Are we going to have the conversation? Listen, okay, we want to have a child in 5 years. And what are we going to do in the meantime between now and that 5 years? You know, and listen, if you get that little itch that I want to have a baby now, listen, we already talked about this before we got married. It's going to be 5 years. Don't go flipping a script on me now because all your girlfriends are having a situation, baby, may be a little bit different. And then if we even say, well, you know what, the reason I really had kids when I first, you know, when we first was talking, so to speak, is because I knew where my financial situation, but you know what? God done blessed. We in a whole different place. We got some money saved up, college. I got the job I want. You're working on your career. I think those things are important in the name of Jesus. And then we say, look, okay, well, hold on now. We could probably swing this. We shouldn't have too much difficulty because the truth of the matter is there are some things that you got to think about now. You have that child, right? You say, you know what? We're going to be
doing.
So here's the questions I would be asking if I was counseling this individual beforehand. Okay, listen, when you have children, there's some things that you got to think about, not just the taking care of the children, but we're talking about 18 years, right? But it's not just 18 years. What about college? So,
college.
You know, all right, what about what you have saved up? I'm hitting all these points tonight, right, some of them. What about how much money you have saved up right now? See, saving up for the wedding, come on, man, that's crap, right? Because a lot of people save up for the wedding, don't have nothing else after that, and then now you're depending on your paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. You spend $10,000 to $20,000 on a wedding, but you ain't got $5,000 in your own checking account or savings account. That's problematic. That's real problematic. And so what we're saying is be wise in the decisions. Know what your plans are and your goals. And if you have a child, and we understand that the majority of individuals come out of college with $25,000 or now is up to $35,000 in debts coming out of college. We know this. Why are they coming out of college? Not because they have to. Some of them are doing because because they want to. Some of them are doing because they have to, because they got to get the student loans. Student loans is a debt. So why put our children in a position, young man, you want to get married? We're going to keep on rolling, Mama. Listen, I know, young man, that you want to get married, or young lady, you want to have a child, but what are you going to be able to do for that child? Listen, you're in a job right now, young man. You don't even have health coverage. You can't even afford the health coverage. How can you expect to take care of a child? And too bad we're not in the type of communities that from the biblical days where communities would not let children go without because there was a connection between families. Most of us don't live in communities like that, Mama. So the truth of the matter is, there's some things that have to be taken into consideration. Mama, so listen, you know this. If you are listening to this show, although the time has come for the show to end on Blog Talk Radio, we can continue live on Facebook. We're going to go for about another 15 minutes because we want you to get all that you could possibly get out of this broadcast tonight. If you're watching us on Facebook, 347-215-7934, that's the number you can call in. If you are currently listening, let us take a break. We want to hear from you. All you have to do, if you are listening right now, we see all the people that are on the switchboard. If you press 1 on your dial pad, we will see you light up. We'll bring you into the conversation, and we can go into it. We can go into it, some of your questions or comments. At the end of the day, we know so much about individuals that are in our age group, Mama, that have done what we've done, and we know that this is powerful. I had somebody over 60 years or over 50 something years old to say, you know, if I would have had this, I would have listened.
Yeah.
That's what he said. If I had this, I would have listened. And here's what we know. A lot of us have gone through life saying something like this. If I knew then what I knew now.
Amen.
If I knew then what
Amen.
I knew now. We know
Amen.
Now that if any of us would have received premarital financial counseling and talking about somebody talking to us about the things we've been talking about on the PR table, if that would have happened, I am 100% convinced. You can try to convince me otherwise, but I am 100% convinced that there will be less marriages that have ended in divorce. Does that mean that they would not have had some type of challenges? Because, yeah, you can't predict for unemployment. You can't predict for sicknesses and all. I get all that. But a lot of stuff is about personalities. A lot of stuff is about habits. A lot of things are about what people understand about principles in his word regarding possessions, resources, and finances. And the truth of the matter is, and I'll hit this last piece until somebody decides they want to talk, or call in.
Okay.
The question before us is this, and I hope to just get a whole bunch of buzz on this. For those of us who have gone down this road and things did not work out well, the question that I have before us is this. Did you sow the financial seeds needed for the marriage to thrive? Not survive, but to thrive. Did you sow the PRF, the possession, resources, and financial seeds? Did you sow those seeds prior to your marriage that would have given you the ability for your marriage to thrive, not just survive? See, a lot of people have treaded water for years, Mom, when it comes to finances, and I don't believe that that is God's best for his people. I don't know everybody's situation. I don't know where they're at spiritually, but Jesus didn't break it all down like that. You know what he said? He said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. I've come to give life and give life more abundantly. And what did he say before that, Mama? He said the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so you have to believe that if you're a godly marriage, if God has ordained for you and him to be married or him and her to be married, you've got to understand that the enemy does not want that to be.
Yes.
He doesn't want to be.
That's
he doesn't
right.
want to be because I said earlier, compatibility, it begets purpose. It begets purpose. And so if there's a purpose for this marriage, then we know this for a kingdom purpose. It ain't for y'all to be the best ushers in the church. It's not a church thing. It's a kingdom thing. And if it's a kingdom thing, then it has the ability to expand way beyond the borders of where we go to worship on Sunday. That's powerful. And you think the enemy's going to be like, oh, I'm about them. Nah, uh-uh. I'm not throwing the enemy on anybody, but I just, we can say we understand of the enemy. The enemy is like, nah.
The challenge is going to come.
Yeah.
And I want to.
Go ahead, Father. Go ahead.
Oh, I want to just say a few words on having children. As some of you know, and your new listeners, I work for Bell Telephone and AT&T. And I have to tell you, my son Nate was very, very sick, even from birth. And if I did not have good medical, because Bell Telephone at that time was paying for everything. I mean, the money that I had to put out for medicines, the money I had to put out for tests, the money we had to would have had to put out for surgeries, hospital visits, hospitalizations, I don't know what I would have done. So when we're planning for a child, it is so we don't know how this child is going, what difficulties this child is going to have. And so that's money also.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to be, taken, also take that into consideration, We all want to have a normal child, But I did not know that my son was going to be born with adenoids. When he was a baby, you could hear him breathe. So that was a surgery. And then he had pneumonia. That was a surgery,
Okay.
He almost died. That was another surgery, And so if I did not have good coverage, then because
right.
my husband was working, but his coverage didn't even top Bell telephone, you know, at that time. And so I didn't have to pay anything. Not to say how his feet was also had a problem with his feet, that he had to have corrective shoes. You know? So that's money. And as I think back on that, I just say thank you, Jesus. As we've been, you know, discussing this, I've been thinking about you and what I had to go through. And all I had to do is just go to the doctor. But I still had to put out the money for the medicines.
Yeah.
You know, but look at the hospital visits. You know, you were in the hospital almost for a month. You know, so these are just very important things when we talk about children. We're talking about, you know, taking consideration the whole thing that, you know, maybe your spouse don't want to have children, as was explained, because maybe he has a child that he has to help put out extra money for. So this is just some good information that's coming out here tonight.
One of the courses that we teach in PRF is called Refuse to Give Out of Ignorance. And it really focuses on a lot of very good things that God has said in his word about giving. And one of the lessons is called To Whom and To What Do You Sow? And so for these last few moments, Mama, I want us to focus on that question. Did you sow the possession, resource, and finance? Did you sow those PRF seeds into your marriage before you got into the marriage? Did you sow them before you said, I do? So that you put yourself in the best possible opportunity for your marriage to thrive, not just survive, not barely making it, not, you know, I'm barely getting along. That's not abundant living, right? And so, many of us can answer that question, Mama, be honest about it and say, we really didn't.
No, I can surely say I didn't. Yes.
Right. So no condemnation. We don't have to beat ourselves up about that. We know.
But it's just a fact.
Yes. All that I say now is, James talks about the elders to get with the younger men and the older women to get with the younger women and to help them, show them, listen, if we've had experiences where we know that if we didn't, because we didn't get what we've been talking about this last month here at PRF Table, then don't we have some type of responsibility to share that with others? We know individuals are getting married all around us. There has to be somebody that stands up and asks the question. And again, I don't put pastors, because I know a bunch of broke pastors, to be honest with you. So you really don't need to be listening to some folk that I know in this area about your marriage. I mean, that's just the truth. It is what it is.
So
now let's just, you can't do it, right? There's certain things that I haven't experienced that, okay, God can give me some basic things. When we talk about some real deal nuts and bolts type of things, listen, I ain't never dealt with an addiction to drugs. I can encourage somebody in all of this, but when it comes to what a withdrawal feels like, I may need to give you to somebody else, not you, Mama, but you. I need to pass that baton over to somebody else who has their hand in Jesus's hand, so that together they can deal with that, because that's not my area.
Yes.
We're still working for the kingdom, all kingdom operation, but I'm just not the one. Dr. Dunlap is not the one to actually do this thing, right? So I want us to think about a scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. For everything there's a season, for everything under a time, for everything under the canopy of heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up, as the King James, I believe, says, or a time to plant and a time to harvest. So let me hit this thing with this harvest thing. If you don't deal with certain things regarding your possession, your resources, and your finances before you get married, I might get excited on this one, Mama. Watch this. You're not putting yourself in the best possible position. Those who you've been called to serve, those who you say are on your team, those who call on you and call you their spiritual mother or spiritual father or spiritual uncle or spiritual aunt or whatever the case may be, those who you say, I mentor this minister, this man of God, woman of God. Listen, right now, Mama, if I decided to eat, if I go, let me give you a story. About 2 weeks ago, I was at the barbershop getting my beard trimmed up. And this brother comes around, and he's bringing in watermelons. I got two watermelons, $5, whatever, right? And people know this guy. And one of the things he said, I got, when I loaded my truck up today, he said, I had 75 watermelons. Think about this, y'all. I really want y'all to get this before we go. I had 75 watermelons. He said, I ain't got about 14 on the truck right now. So he drove around the barbershops or wherever he parked at, and people brought him because they know him. He gets good watermelons. Now, listen, watch this. The question I put before us was, did you sow? That's all I said. Did you sow the necessary PRF seeds for the marriage, not your marriage, for the marriage to thrive, not just survive? Notice I said, did you sow? Notice I said, the marriage. The reason I'm using that specific language of did you sow, I'm watching it, here it comes. The fact of the matter is, if I would have brought some of those watermelons from this individual at the barbershop, he didn't grow them, mama. Listen to me. He did not grow them. Let me tell you something else that he did not do. He did not pick them out of the field. All he did was get them from the individual that was able to that had them, that was responsible for growing them. So what I'm saying is he was not the farmer, nor was he the harvester. But while I'm sitting at my house with that fresh, good, juicy watermelon on my front stoop, like we used to do back in Philly, I'm getting the benefit of it. Years ago, Mama, I'll sit out here. Years ago, I never knew what a pomegranate was. Growing up in Philly, I never knew what a pomegranate is. A pomegranate has the exuberance of seeds and these little red seeds. Let me tell you, on Ogas Avenue, for those of y'all who are from Philly, on Ogas Avenue, right there at Lime Kim Pike and Ogas Avenue, there was a little grocery store. Mama, I used to go there with $25. I used to buy those things. We sat on the front step, making a mess because they will stain your steps and your clothes. And I, for all my life, Mama, well into my grown adult years, I called those Chinese apples because the store was a Chinese run store and they were not in the
regular
market. So I called them Chinese apples. I realized that they were pomegranates years after that when I was involved with some stuff. I'm benefiting from that fruit, but yet I have no idea where it. I don't know where it was grown. I have nothing, no knowledge about who the farmer was. I don't know where the seeds came to plant it. I don't know who was involved in the cultivation of it. All I know is I'm sitting on my front step on 68th Avenue, Ogontz, making a mess of the front step for you coming in the house and anybody else, my neighbors coming in the house. And I'm benefiting from it. Why am I going through all that? I'm going through all that for this reason. People continue to say this, use this scripture, and they use it out of context. If you don't sow, you don't reap, right? Or you reap what you sow. Here's the truth of the matter. I just gave you two examples of having a good time, one with watermelon, one with pomegranate. And in neither one of those instances did I sow, but yet I get to reap. Come on now. Let's deal with this thing. The Bible is clear. I can pull the scripture up, but I'll just tell you. The Bible is clear when it says, and you reap what you did not sow. So here's the truth of that. Everybody who sows is not going to reap everything that they sow. We know the spiritual implication, how you treat people, then you can expect that to come back to you. But can we put it into a practical sense? Because I hear people talking about same thing with money in the church. Come on, let's go here. Yeah, you sow into God is going to do this for you. Okay, so we're talking practical. We're not saying we're just going to pray for the church to grow, and we're not going to just pray that the money in the church just happens to multiply. What we're talking about is, listen, you put in here, God's going to do something in your life. So listen, let's not go around about this whole sowing and reaping thing. We know what the Word of God says. Again, I just told you, we can go and talk about it. That's in the Word. You reap. He's talking to some people that say, you reap what you did not sow. Now, we also know that the Word God tells us that there's a time for everything. If I was to utilize my watermelon analogy, and I'm eating this watermelon right now, it's good to me. if I want some more watermelon, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't make sense if the watermelon is just coming out right now. It's just, you know, we just got it out the field. If I think that in a couple of weeks I'm going to plant some more watermelon, and what I'm planting is going to pop up overnight, that's the wrong thing, Mom. We got the wrong understanding of what it means to plant, what it means to sow, because it doesn't happen like that. It's not a microwave type of thing. And so the other thing, one thing, obviously one of the points that we bring up in this course is, the other thing is Ecclesiastes, right? Wisdom, part of wisdom literature from God, right? Luke Solomon.
Yes.
There's a time and a place for everything. So the truth of the matter is, although that watermelon was good, if I want some more watermelon, I don't plant right now thinking that I'm going to go into the field in December. It's freaking June. I'm not going to think I'm going to go in there in December or in October and pull it out. No, because truth of the matter is, it probably is not going to grow like it's supposed to grow, because there's a season for watermelon, a season for squash, a season for okra, a season for all these different types of, I mean, you're not growing, I mean, you're just not growing certain things in certain seasons. But if you wait and you're out of season, and that's what continues to happen with this thing of marriages and finances, Mama, the sowing hasn't been done beforehand, and so now people are in marriages and they're starting to experience and encounter some of these issues that we know are going to continue to keep coming up until we're addressing them, especially as men and women of God in leadership positions, right?
Yes, yes.
And now you're spending a lot of extra time trying to deal with something that we could have dealt with on the front end. Now, truth of the matter is this. We can't do anything in this conversation, in this dialogue about premarital financial counseling. You already been married 20 years. We got to deal with you in a different way. That's not premarital anymore.
No.
That's just regular marital counseling.
Maybe golden just years.
So we want people, Sister Griffin, God bless you, sis. Good to see you. We want people to understand that we got to do things now for later. We go to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. What is said in Proverbs? We got a caller that wants to join in, Mama. I'm going to bring him on after this statement. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8 says, gather in the summertime. That's what the ant does, so that they have it in the wintertime. That's real deal stuff, Mama. So somebody got y'all got me excited. So we have a caller that's on the line calling us from, I believe, Texas. Welcome to the PRF table.
Dr. Dunlap, Mama, how you doing this evening?
Yes, fine. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, Mama, I'm here. That lovely boy of yours, Dr. Dunlap, he blessed me with something there.
Well, praise the Lord.
Nate?
Yes, sir.
All right, you some things you said, it kind of struck home, just talking off of the finances. I'm in a situation where we kind of joined together, me and my wife. She already had a child. I had a child. We joined our union together, and I'm going somewhere with this here. When you were saying about asking, you know, those questions about, you know, hey, where you standing on your credit and so on and so on.
Right.
Coming into the marriage, you know, she was a single parent, so she was just trying to make ends meet. And I understand that, you know, I get that. But now looking at the future, there were certain things that she did that really didn't set her up for the future. Mm-hmm. And when you was talking about the watermelon, you know, you had me laughing because I'm kind of like you there. I used to call them old other things Chinese apples too, you know. That's just how it was. They're Chinese apples. Chinese apples. So where it just hit me at, and you were saying, you know, you reap what you sow, you know, a man should be able to go out there and plant the seeds and everything. But sometimes you have to benefit off of someone else's plan.
There
and
you
I
go.
Think that's what I got my situation. She didn't. Mm. She wasn't able to set up for her future. And trying to make ends meet for her and her child, she completely missed the short-term, long-term disability. You know, that's kind of like optional. And buying into 401k. You know, she just, at the time, she just couldn't afford to do that.
Right.
But so here I am. I ain't going to say I'm George Jefferson, but I'm not James Evans either. So, and what where it hit me at, my blessing is her blessing.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm kind of set up, she's going to be okay.
Mm.
And it kind of got me when you was talking about planting the watermelons, you know. You're buying a watermelon off of this gentleman here, but not knowing where it's coming from and so on and so on. Yeah, you probably could have planted your own and had your own set up. But sometimes you have to benefit off of someone else's blessing.
That's right.
And I guess there's nothing wrong with that, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. And what I say, my brother, is this. This is Mike, right?
God bless you. That's it.
Yeah, Mike Tatum, my brother from Philly.
By the way, I was at that same fruit market as Nate was, Mama.
Yes.
You know, there's a blessing. Understanding that see, when folks talk about and put this whole thing of sowing and reaping, again, that's why I love this course and this lesson that we teach, sowing and reaping just won't do. We're not going through all of it tonight, but I love it because when people talk about this whole thing of sowing and reaping, say, listen, it's what you do. See, what they're doing is preaching and teaching an individualistic Christianity, and it's the oxymoron. Because there is no individuality when it comes to Christianity. It's all about community. It's all about community. And so, yes, if you do your part and I do my part, then somebody should be benefiting. You see, when you only want to reap what you plant, then the truth of the matter is a whole bunch of folks should be hungry. A whole bunch of folks should not be doing well. Because the truth of the matter is I get tired. I get lazy. I procrastinate. This, you know, these are things that we do as individuals sometimes. And so if my procrastination means anything to my household, then there's some things that my household is not going to get. But yet we still want God to bless us because we go to church on Sunday, and if you drop a couple dollars into the offering plate and you hear God's going to bless you, and it's offering time, and you clap, man, it's offering time. God is not impressed. He's not impressed. Impressed, not what we do inside of the church walls. I'm going off on myself now.
Hello.
It's about what we do outside of the church walls. And outside of the church walls means about community. So again, I thank you, brother. I thank you. I'll let you mute your own phone on your end. If you want to jump back in, feel free to do that anytime. So you know how we do. Mama, one of the things that I try to incorporate when we're teaching this is the whole agricultural nature of this. See, if you don't, again, I just told you, y'all know I'm from Philly. So my whole disposition is not an agricultural type of disposition. It's urban. And so I got to be able to put some things into context for people that still also don't have the same agricultural type of context. See, the reason we get to read these things is because that's the type of people that they were in the Bible. And so you have to say, well, Jesus living here today, how would he be speaking to us about these things? So if he's going to say, listen, it's a time to plant, time to die, or time to live, time to die, time to plant, and the time to pluck up, if he had to expound on it, I believe he would be doing the same type of expository teaching that we're doing, saying, listen, truth of the matter is, you know, somebody has to lay some foundation for you. See, listen,
yeah.
I'm about to done on this one, because the whole matter of it is this. That's an essence of discipleship, if you really think about it. I received this teachings from Jesus the Christ. And what the disciples had to do, he said, go ye therefore, teaching them, not preaching to them, teaching them. And so the only way a disciple begins a disciple if they get to it. Can we go to Acts chapter 8, when the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting there, y'all gonna hear me say it until whatever, the Ethiopian eunuch, that was really from the book of Isaiah, from the scroll. And then Philip goes over to him because the Holy Spirit led them over there and then said to them, listen, how can you, or do you understand what you're reading? And they're like, well, how can I? Nobody's taught me. And so the fact of the matter is we know that a whole bunch of folks have not been taught. It ain't been taught in seminary. It's not taught in the pastoral care courses in seminary. Listen, I got 2 degrees from seminaries. I could tell you ain't, it wasn't neither one that I attended. And a whole bunch of folks that I know that have also gone to other seminaries, they're not getting this as well. And so if we're not taught this in seminary, especially those of us who need these advanced degrees to be pastors, to be preachers, if that's not happening, then how can they provide that same thing to anybody else unless they do it like I had to do it and get it through the hard knocks? And when you get some stuff through hard knocks, Mom, it doesn't mean that you're open and transparent about what's going on with you to help somebody else. So listen, This whole thing of premarital financial counseling, I'm expecting our phones to ring a little bit more, Mama. I'm expecting to start receiving some more emails. I'm expecting the pastor to say, please come and talk to my congregation or to my folk. I'm expecting for some marriage retreats, sending some emails or sending some Facebook messages saying, listen, we need y'all to come and talk about this. Because truth of the matter is, we keep having these marriage retreats, and there's nothing against them. I go to them. We keep having marriage retreats, but not one of the marriage retreats that I've been to over the last 5 years, Mama, has ever dealt with anything with finances. And here I am sitting in it and could have easily presented because it's something that you don't want to deal with. Some folks don't want to deal with. I want people to believe it's all happy. But if you had some individuals who had not tied the knot yet, some engaged couples, some individuals who are considering marriage, I'm thinking about saying, do you want to marry me? I think it's getting serious. I think he's going to propose to me soon. If you let some of those individuals, those couples sit in some of the marriage retreats, Mama, they'd be like, okay, it would turn it upside down because I'm understanding a whole lot better these days some of the issues that people who have not done what 60% of us in the church have done, which is get married and get divorced. They're not at this point where they're like, listen, I see what y'all been going through. I see the divorce rate. Let me tell you, the fruit, you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. That's what Jesus said. Do you know what the fruit of many marriages is, Mama? I just told you, 60% of them end in divorce. That's the fruit of it. So so what that means is we got to plant a different tree. That's it. We don't burn the field, Mama. We don't burn the field. We don't put the field owner on a stake and burn him or her to death. We don't do any of that. We just say, listen, we got to do some different type of planting because we want some different results. I think Mama's gone, so listen. I was going to let her get the last word, but since she's gone for the night, all I will say is this. I'm thankful that God has chosen us to talk about what we're talking about tonight. And I would just love for this conversation and this dialogue to go very much more in depth because it needs to be. There's people that don't need to live through what so many of us have already lived through. And then, you know, we have the ability to change the trajectory of what marriage looks like within the church, which I believe would have a very profound impact on how marriage will be perceived and viewed and lived out outside of the church. Truth of the matter is, if the world knows that 60% of the people in the church have been divorced at least once. If the world knows that, then I don't see where that makes it attractive for them to come to us, if you will, to come to us and say, let me see how well y'all are doing, because they can see it. So we have to do a better job. Those of us who wear these fancy collars on Sunday, stand in a pulpit, have the ability to teach and preach and do radio, you know, we need to join together. And I believe that's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to join together so that we can do like Ephesians 4 and be united, or do like 1 Corinthians 12 and be united. Because the truth of the matter is, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Before he gets to the text in chapter 13 that talks about faith, hope, and charity, the greatest of these is charity, or greatest of these is love, he talks about unity in the body. And so when we know that there's some stuff going on, we know that there's some broken bones in the body, we see those broken bones, they're slowing up things that could be done within the kingdom, then it's only up to us to try to make sure that other folks don't wind up being broken bones as well. And so with that, we're going to bid you good night. It is 9 o'clock. So we went for an hour on this finale of premarital financial counseling on the PRF table. Next week, we start a new series. It's called Financial Freedom Ain't Free. Financial Freedom Ain't Free. Listen, just come to us next week. We'll be here on the PRF table on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. Thank you, everybody who has been with us. And we'll talk to you next week. Let's connect on Facebook. You know our website, prfministry.org. We'll be praying for you.